Good evening to everyone, and again, thank you for this opportunity to share. I'm going to go right into the word after a moment of prayer, if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for this opportunity to share through your word. We ask that you speak to us on tonight. Give us something that will push us into what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so thank you again for this opportunity. And let's go to Mark's Gospel chapter 10. And that's where I will be sharing with you from on tonight. Right. Verse 46 is where we will start. It says, now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to share with you from this thought tonight. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. And as we're speaking to men on tonight, one of the things that we as men, we're probably very much a stickler at, and that is really being focused as it pertains to life, as it pertains to family, ministry, really being focused and trying to be on top of everything that God has called us to do and everything that he's given us an assignment in. First of all, some of the things that we have to consider is making sure that our reason for being in certain situations does not hinge upon our failure to maximize the opportunity to change certain situations. Perhaps some of our current situations, some of our current things that we're dealing with is because we have not made up our mind to change our situation. Until we start thinking differently concerning our situation, then it's no wonder why our situation is our situation. What we must come to grips with is the fact that we have the power to change our situation. One of the things that I really stress and teach to my people is the law of concentration. The law of concentration states that whatever we think about on the continual basis actually becomes a part of our life. But then there's the law of substitution that says that we can only hold one thought at a time, but we have the power to choose whether that thought is positive or negative. Right. So some of us, we pray the wrong prayer. We ask God to change our situation. When in actuality, if God changes our situation and our mind is still attached to the situation, then we will still be stuck in the situation, although God has changed it. So what we need to pray is, God, change my mind, because if God changes our mind, we can change our own situation. So one of our reasons for being in our situation is the failure to maximize the opportunity to change that situation. As men, what we have to agree with is everything is not the devil's fault. Sometimes we have to take some blame on ourselves, because sometimes we position ourselves in front of impossibility. We position ourselves in front of impossibility. We fellowship with people that mean us no good, and we have no good discernment to see it. We ignore dreams because of the lack of faith in ourselves. We miss out on opportunities because we aren't mature enough to handle them. Therefore, we place ourselves in front of impossibility. But Bartimaeus in our text, he maps out a rubric to follow. He shows us that if you have the opportunity, it is your opportunity. If you have the opportunity, it is your opportunity. And you have to embrace the opportunity that God has given you. All right. Watch this. Embrace the opportunity, but don't blow it. Don't blow the opportunity. Although we have obstacles and stumbling blocks that try to keep us from getting what we need from God, and although we have people who will try to frustrate our purpose and keep us blind to what God has for us, although we have handicaps in our life that present us a feeling of defeat, like Bartimaeus, we cannot allow our frustrations and our limitations to conquer our ambition. Let me say that again. We cannot allow our frustrations and our limitations to conquer our ambition. So understand this. This guy, Bartimaeus, was a blind beggar. The Bible says that this guy sat on the roadside daily begging. All right. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this as a story of two blind men being healed. But Mark's gospel takes time to just talk about Bartimaeus. So here we are in chapter 10, where Jesus is on his way out of Jericho. And with him were a great number of people and his disciples. Catch this. I need you to understand that the text tells us, it takes time to tell us that they came to Jericho. Then it turns around and says, as they went out of Jericho. So they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho, Bartimaeus comes into scripture, which tells us that they first had to come to Jericho before they went out of Jericho. Now, for Bartimaeus and people like Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside begging was how they spent their day, which tells us that Jesus and the disciples and the great number of people passed by Bartimaeus to get to Jericho, but it wasn't until they came out of Jericho that Bartimaeus comes into scripture, which tells us that he missed an opportunity. He missed the opportunity. Once you know it's your opportunity, don't let it pass you by the first time. Don't let it pass you by the first time. The Bible says, and they came out of Jericho, and that's where Bartimaeus comes into scripture. It was Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill, who's an American writer of the early 1900s, he says, procrastination is the bad habit of putting off for the day after tomorrow what should have been done the day before yesterday, right? So the truth of the matter is some of our situations would have been changed by now, but we procrastinated. We procrastinated, we procrastinated, we put off, we postponed our dreams, we postponed our goals, we postponed our aspirations. But the question is why? Why did we postpone so many things? Some of us, we postponed them because of fear, because of worry, because of lack of faith. But truthfully, men, most of us, we postponed a lot of things because of laziness. Laziness, just content with the way things are going in our life, and we don't mind being where we are. Laziness and content, we become content because we know that we don't have to embrace anything new. We don't have to go after anything new. But procrastination, understand this, it seems like something small, but it becomes something major in your life. Men, we've known many times where we say, hey, I'm gonna go clean out my car. Then we get to the car and we see how dirty the car is, and we say, I do it tomorrow. That's it seems small, but it turns into something major to the point where, you know, I'm going to start this investment thing. I'm going to start this business. And then we keep putting it off the day after tomorrow. I'm going to go back to school. You keep saying the fall. Here comes the fall. Now you're saying the spring. So we keep throwing things off. All right. So procrastination sounds like a small problem, but it becomes something major. Procrastination, watch this, is a form of self-sabotage. It's a form of self-sabotage. You can't afford to procrastinate any longer. Something within you has to call that procrastination out of you. Some stuff we would have done a long time ago, what we procrastinated. Think about it. We have stuff right now that's on paper, that's in our phone, that's in our notes, that's in our journals, that could be income right now, but it's still an idea. Why? Because we took time to procrastinate. We wasted time procrastinating. All right. So the Bible says, and I don't want to go over my time. The Bible says that when they came to Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. All right. Quick revelation, real quick here. If I was in church and I asked you who sat by the roadside begging, the entire church would say blind Bartimaeus. All right. The entire church would say blind Bartimaeus. And some of you agree tonight. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside begging. Why? Because it has been ingrained in us to call people by their situation. His name is not blind Bartimaeus. His name is Bartimaeus. But we have been so trained to call people by their situation. And because some people can't see deliverance for themselves, all they see is you and your situation. But the truth of the matter is, don't allow anyone to call you by what you're dealing with. What you're dealing with is just what you're going through. It's not who you are. His name is not blind Bartimaeus. His name is Bartimaeus. All right. So Mark tells us that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and when you understand the implication of Bartimaeus' name, some studies say that Timaeus, his father, was a blind man. So Bartimaeus has some type of curse or generational curse on his life. But at some point, you have to say, even some of us, we have generational curses, things that were passed down from our mothers, from our fathers, from our grandparents, and we're battling their giants, we're battling their demons. But at some point, we have to say the buck stops here. When Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, he is saying that, hey, my father was blind, I'm a blind man, but this stops here. Something has to change. Even in my bloodline. When you consider your children, when you consider the next generation that's coming up behind you, you have to say, I have to defeat some demons now. I have to knock down some giants now so that my son doesn't have to deal with that, so that my daughter doesn't have to deal with that, so that my grandchildren don't have to deal with that. And there's many ways I can go with that, but I don't want to take up too much time. But Bartimaeus shows us here that you have to make up your mind that the buck stops here. The Bible says when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. All right. See, the opportunity that you have now is the opportunity. Stop thinking that it's going to come around again to give you the mindset or the feeling of contentment and procrastination. Stop thinking that I got a little bit more time. I can wait it out for the next time. No, if you have the opportunity right now to start the business, start it now. If you have the opportunity to go to school, start now. If you have the opportunity to embrace something that's going to change your future right now, do not procrastinate. Embrace it right now. Don't blow it. Bartimaeus, the amazing thing about this is he gave that shout to God all he had. He gave that shout to Jesus all he had, to the point where the text says, and Jesus stood still. Oh, man. That's the organ part. If I was in church, that's the part where I grabbed the organ. But the text says, and Jesus stood still. With all the commotion, with all the disciples around him, with the great crowd of people around him, he heard Bartimaeus cry. Listen to why he heard Bartimaeus cry. Bartimaeus cries out to him and says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You got to understand that the expression son of David was used in the Jewish community as a reference to the Messiah. So in this text, and there's a whole lot of background for that. But in this text, Bartimaeus is making the highest reference to Jesus that is possible. He calls him Jesus, thou son of David. It's crazy because this blind man can see Jesus better than anybody else in the text. He sees Jesus with the highest, and he references Jesus with the highest title that the Jewish people had for the Messiah. He calls Jesus. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still. And the Bible says that the people around Jesus told him to be quiet. They told Bartimaeus to shut up. They looked at him and saw his condition, saw where he was sitting, and told him to be quiet. Can I tell you something? You cannot allow anything around you to stop you from getting what you need from Jesus. You cannot allow anything around you to stop you from getting what you need in life. You see, the thing is, the disciples and the great crowd of people that were turned around and told Bartimaeus to shut up, they could see. They didn't need what Bartimaeus needed. And you cannot allow people who don't need what you need to stop you from getting to Jesus. Woo, I hope y'all got that. All right. So Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus. Jesus calls for him. So the same people that told Bartimaeus to shut up had to turn around and say, he's calling you. That's a good example that God will make your enemies your footstool. Those who tried to stop you will end up bringing favor to your life. All right. So Bartimaeus gets to Jesus and Jesus asks him the question, what is it that you want me to do? He said, Master, Rabbi, I want to receive my sight. Here's the amazing thing. Because Bartimaeus did not waste any more time, because he stopped procrastinating, because he embraced the opportunity, Jesus says to him, because of your faith, I'm going to make you whole. Catch this, men. He went to Jesus and asked for sight. Jesus says, I'm going to make you whole. Whole means including all parts and aspects, nothing left out. Which means that you came to me for sight, but I'm going to fix everything in your life. I'm going to make you whole. Because he didn't procrastinate, because he stopped procrastinating, because he went after that opportunity, Jesus says, all right, I'm going to make you whole. Because of your faith, I'm going to fix your entire life. Here's the amazing thing, because you can't go to Jesus asking for him to better things just for selfish reasons. The Bible, when you study this, you find out that Bartimaeus says, hey, I want to receive my sight so I can earn my living. I want to earn my living. I don't want any handouts anymore. I want to receive my sight so I can earn my living. See, when you come to Jesus and ask him to do something for you, it has to be with purpose behind it. Has to be with purpose attached to it. So Bartimaeus didn't waste the opportunity, and Jesus made him whole. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much. I pray that this word was received and it pushes you into what God has called you to do. Thank you so much.
Man, what an amazing word. Thank you so much, Pastor McNair. That was right on time. We couldn't have asked for a more relevant word this evening in this season for men. So thank you so much. Man, thank you for joining as always. For those who are familiar with our call, we are going to end by taking up, I don't like using the word, but an offering. So it was placed on my heart when I began this call back in April to sow into the leaders and the men that are leading this prayer call. We want to sow into them and into their churches. So if you can, if you feel led and are able to, would love if you would join me in making an offering or a donation to Pastor McNair and Mount Moriah Community Church in Raleigh. I just put my Cash App in the chat. This pandemic has been challenging for us all. I can honestly and truthfully say God has been faithful to me and my family. So this donation does not impact me at all. Me and my family are going to join as we have each month and each week and donate to Pastor McNair and his church family as well. So if you can join me, utilize my Cash App, which is $PEMGives. That's P as in Paul, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, the word gives. We will take what is sown this evening, add to it, and bless Pastor McNair and his church family. Pastor McNair, thank you again. We are so grateful for your time, for your wisdom and your word. And this is countless. The amount that we sow is not nearly as much as what you have sown and poured into us. So we pray that God pours back into you and replenishes you for the word that you have sown in us this evening. We are back next month, first Monday in November. We'll change it up a little bit. We have Kendall McDowell, originally out of Greensboro, now residing in Orlando, Florida. He is a worshiper, an artist, minister of music, whatever title you want to give him. He is going to bring us a word about the importance of men being worshipers. So join us, spread the word. As always, this message that Pastor McNair just gave us, along with all the other words, will be on the website. Please be sure to check the website. And remember, no more procrastination, as Pastor McNair just sowed and poured into us. We love you. We thank you, man. Continue to be great leaders, and we will see you next month. Have a blessed evening.